say. Tell me what you do. You're crazy, I suppose. This is so unreal. Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of the Dad Podcast. I mentioned it on last week's, or I mean earlier this week's episode, that I did this episode with the Old Republic Radio, a podcast for the massive multiplayer online role-playing game of the Old Republic. It's a Star Wars game, for any of you who don't know what that is. These guys were nice enough to have me on the show. As you'll hear, it gets a little risque, I guess, and then we had a good time, and then afterwards they say, I don't think we can use any of that, because they have a bunch of kids that listen to the show that I didn't think of or forgot about, whatever, and they couldn't put it out on their feed, but I said, hey, give it to my guys, maybe they'll enjoy it as a bonus episode. So without further ado, here is Justin Worsham ruining the Old Republic Radio Podcast.
The Old Republic Podcast. Transmitting on frequencies across the galaxy. Covering the game so all you have to do is play it. This is Old Republic Radio.
Joining us today on Old Republic Radio is a very special guest. We have Justin Worsham joining us from the Dads Podcast.
Hello. You know, when you call me a special guest, you laugh, it makes me not special. I don't know if we want to go back and do that again or...
No, it makes you very special, the fact that I'm laughing.
You can't say the word special without laughing. What the hell is this? This is already bullshit.
It's special because we have a very popular guest, and I think we can't believe that we have you. That's why we're laughing. We're like, seriously?
This is all horse shit. I'm out of here. All right, fine. All right. Let's redo this. Let's come in real serious. Seriously. It'll be priceless. Okay, bark it. This week on Old Republic Radio, we have a very special guest joining us. Please welcome Justin Worsham of the Dads Podcast. Justin, welcome to Old Republic Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what's happening right now. I was doing a bit before, and I think everybody took me seriously.
Not at all.
I'm just going to roll with it. And let's get real, guys. Let's talk some MMORPG crap about some Star Wars. I'm in it.
Just so we're actually going to use the entire bit there.
Yeah, that whole bit's getting cut in. That's just don't think it hasn't been.
Hey, why are you so serious?
I don't know. I thought this was what's happened. I gotta go.
Justin, you seem really serious for a stand-up comedian. That really, you sound very complex right now. What's going on?
Tears of a clown, bitch. It's very sad. Very sad. Life.
Tears of a clown. I think getting a couple of days away from the kids, you'd be in high spirits.
I am. I don't know if you could tell, but my voice is gone because I had a late night of debauchery last night. That, oh my gosh, it was awesome. We went to some bar here in Omaha, and I thought I wouldn't belong, but then all of a sudden, this fat chick that looked like she had two toothpicks sticking out of her for legs started singing this unintelligible song that sounded like Aretha Franklin. It was really weird. That's a deep reference to the cantina scene that they messed up in that special edition. Somebody got it. Somebody got it. But I have to point it out just in case somebody. What the hell is this asshole talking about?
No, I know exactly. Sliced noodles. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you accidentally shoot your friend across the table underneath the table?
I did, and I did take the first shot. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yes.
All right? Take the first shot.
I did not let my friend have the opportunity to draw a weapon on me at that point in time.
No, I'm not an idiot.
You're in the club, Justin. You're in the club.
You know what? This leads me to my first question. Of all the travesties that occurred with the special edition, what's the worst, in your opinion?
I it's funny when Drew was talking to me about being on the show, we had like a little bit of an email exchange, and I can like joke about the nerd rage, but I really think I might disappoint you guys in that I'm that lame Star Wars fan that anything I have, I'm just like, I like this. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't over the moon, obviously, but I didn't hate them. I don't have that visceral, like, I want to find that man on Lucas Ranch and just choke his little fucking face.
I'm calling BS right now, pal, because I heard you on one of your own podcasts. You dropped Geonosian on one of your own podcasts talking about your kid's Lego toy. So I know you know. You got some little gems in your pocket, pal.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're mistaking me with my co-host, Bill, because he's not a Star Wars fan, but he knows every model of every starship ever created in the Star Wars universe simply because he spent 12 hours building it for his 5-year-old kid only for it to fall apart.
All right, stuck I stand corrected.
Fucking foot.
I stand corrected.
Now, are you watching the Clone Wars series? Is that what I heard you say the other week?
No, I'm not. It might be him. I think I talked about like wanting to. I watched it when I first showed Star Wars to my son, which was that's like a redneck bar mitzvah is what that is. It's like
essentially.
Yeah. That's his age of ascension. Now he's a man because he's a toddler and I've said, "We're about to watch something, son, and it is going to be magical." And he liked it. He loved it because he's brilliant. And so
he was well trained, right?
Yeah. And so I thought, well, what better way to continue the saga, if you would, than to show him the Clone Wars series? Because I'd heard good things about it. I hadn't really seen it myself. I go, this will be a fun thing that I can still be a kid and be an involved dad, you know, and he couldn't be less interested. So it was really weird for him to be like, But I was a little proud because at that time he had only seen the original trilogy. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's real deep and he's hardcore and he just doesn't know it yet.
Sure, sure. Well, it's animated. I mean, maybe that's – does he like a lot of animated stuff? I know that you've got him deep into some really heavy dramas and some very crime-oriented dramas. Tell us a little bit about that for those that have not heard the Dad Podcast.
Well, some of these pussy dads out here like to give me a bunch of shit because I happen to show my toddler a few episodes of Dexter, and they think that that is inappropriate for his age bracket.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? He's not wet in the bed. He doesn't wake up. You know what movie gave him nightmares? The Grinch Stole Christmas, the animated version. He woke up in the dead of night going, the Grinch is coming to get me. But he's never once thought about Dexter. He sees Dexter as a superhero. He's fighting crime.
Right. Right. And I would imagine that's because that's the way the dad is portrayed it. When you have a vigilante killer that's going out there and killing all the bad people on the planet, that's what I'm talking about. And that's the same thing. I can completely understand what you're saying, because my 7-year-old, when she was 6, started watching Dexter, and then she started requesting the seasons prior.
Yeah.
So we started picking up all the seasons. Now, granted, we speed through the sex scenes, so she doesn't see any of that stuff. We have an understanding. Quit laughing at me.
I'm sorry. It's just, I would do the same thing, but when I hear somebody else say it, it does sound kind of funny. Like, we only want her to see him bury an 8-inch Bowie knife in pedophile's face. That's all we wanted to see.
We also need
to see a serial killer in a passionate embrace creating life with another woman. That is inappropriate shit for a child to be seeing at 6. Okay.
We only want to
help us take care of that shit.
We only want to see the main character strapping someone down to a barber's chair with leather straps and draining their blood pint by pint, right?
True. Well,
and the nice thing about Dexter is that, I mean, you want to teach your kids that they can be anything they aspire to. President, doctor, serial killer.
You know what? Set your mind to it.
Now I got a disclaimer myself here, because now I look like an awful father.
No, I'm actually not. I understand. But, I know exactly what you're doing. What you're trying to do is not make the connection of Saran wrap to a sex fetish for your little girl. And I get it, buddy. I get it.
Totally.
Did I cross the line? Is that too far?
No, no, God, no. You just go, nobody, go.
You don't know me.
The explicit tag got put on this motherfucker about half an hour ago. So.
That's how explicit it's going to be. It's just an episode whatever, motherfucker.
Explicit tag.
All I have to say is thank you, guys. Now I don't feel like such a horrible cousin for introducing to my 4-year-old cousin Star Wars and The Walking Dead and Castle.
No, God.
Yeah, my daughter,
that in the wrong order. Castle? I don't understand why Castle is the third.
Like, that's the most aggressive show you've ever seen. Like, no, no, man, you got to watch this. It's pretty hardcore what this Nathan Fillion character's doing.
Yeah. I mean, Firefly, maybe. It's a bit something you could have gone with that's more aggressive than Castle.
Firefly, yes.
And the worst part is I won't let my wife and I won't let my daughter watch The Family Guy.
Well, some of that animated shit is inappropriate, and you lose a lot of translation when they draw it as opposed to seeing it real life in real person. You know what I mean? That's fake drawn paint blood. You don't want that to be a misunderstanding, you know?
I guess we should let her, we shouldn't make her stop smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee, too.
You're just keeping her short so it's easier for her to find a mate. I understand everything you're doing. Stunt that growth. You don't want her to be 6'2", some Amazon chick. All she gets is some guy who's losing his hair and it's some kind of computer gig. And
hey, hold on, Justin. Hold on. I'm 6'5", yeah. And I've got a daughter at 2 right now who's standing close to 3 feet tall. So let's hold it on the Amazon jokes here, okay?
Well, how tall is your wife?
5'0".
There you go.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You crazy freaking giants find the short people. It's opposites attract. It's going to be harder for a chick to find a guy, you know what I mean? Unless she gets in. Maybe she's into the short thing. I don't know what your daughter's into. I'll be honest with you.
My brother and sister-in-law just had a kid that's in the 96th percentile for height because they are both gigantic. And I was like, oh, man, she's going to play a lot of volleyball, isn't she? Maybe some softball. I don't know.
And what she's also going to do is make a lot of eighth grade boys very happy because the only way they could slow dance is giving her a motorboat. That's the only way they can do it.
That's exactly right. Giving back to the community.
Hey, you guys remember that time you had that guy from the Dad Podcast about parenting come on and talk about inappropriate sex acts with underage people? That was awesome.
That was a great show.
You know, one of the best episodes we ever did.
What the fuck am I doing?
You're just going on. You're going on a run, Justin. We're just going along for the ride. So, 3-hour tour on the SS Minnow.
So, where did you start with Star Wars? Were you early enough to see it in the theater, or what was your first experience with it?
Well, I'm 33, so I was born in 79, so I missed A New Hope. I want to say that my dad took me to the movie theater to see Empire. I know I went to the theater to see Jedi. And that's what it was. And then I probably pirated them or bootlegged them because he had them on like VHS cassette tapes that I would literally just play on a loop all day long. Sometimes I wouldn't even watch them. I would just put them in the TV. And while I was playing in the living room, they would be going. And then if there was something I was like, oh, I love this part or whatever, I would sit down and watch it. And I had this really cool moment because I grew up, and then when they did the new trilogy, which I know everybody hates, but for me, again, this is why I like them, is that it was kind of a nice father-son moment that I got to reciprocate because I got hooked up with, like, tickets for all the midnight showings through a job that I had. So I got to then take my dad to the movie theater. We went – he was always my date, you know, when we went to all the new movies. And so,
sure.
That might be why I didn't have that same nerd rage or expectation of like, no, why is this? No. Like, I was like, my dad's sitting here. I bought him popcorn.
And I assume, you know, that you have a favorite of the original trilogy.
Yeah. That's rough. I have a lot of moments. Like, it's all left. I don't know if you guys have the same thing. Like, it hasn't really changed for me as I grew up. Right. Like, when I was a kid, I was way into Tauntauns. And I don't know why. It's so weird, but maybe it's why I show my kid Dexter. I just love the idea of slicing open a Tauntaun to live. Like, it always made me happy. Every time I saw that, I was like, this is so cool. And
who knew they were full of bananas? I mean, really, it's amazing.
Nobody,
right?
Nobody, you know, I don't even know how you get a tropical fruit on an ice planet. How does that even happen?
Who knows?
I'll tell you how. It has to happen long ago in a galaxy far, far away. That's the only way.
Or on lot B.
Yeah. I'm surprised Scientologists haven't said that that's where bananas came from, is that they were actually brought over to planet Earth from a galaxy far, far away.
From the planet Hoth out of a Tauntaun's stomach. That's how it actually happened. Believe it, people. Okay.
Now, Justin, have you purchased the Tauntaun sleeping bag for your youngster yet that you can unzip the side of it and stick him inside?
No, but I do remember when that was just like an internet joke. Yeah. Like, I do remember being, I was at least close to my 30s, and I saw that, and I was like, I have never wanted a sleeping bag more in my entire life. Like, I don't go camping. I have nothing. And then I fell for it.
Just in case you want to purchase it, I linked it for you in the chat.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, because now, well, we used to have Think Geek as a sponsor, and they right. sell them through there, which I still haven't got one because I want to wait till he's a little older and he'll really appreciate it.
But just get one for yourself.
Oh, that, yeah, definitely. But I don't know if you guys have the same situation, but in order to get my wife to understand, like, right, I'm not just buying it for me, we get a matching set. It's a father-son experience.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to teach you guys a lot today.
Dude, I did the same thing with replica sabers.
Does that mean I can buy my daughter a rifle?
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. As long as you get one for you, then it's a father-daughter thing.
You know? That's what I'm saying, yo. Let's do this.
Just take a laptop out in the backyard. Just go with it.
Yeah. That guy was great. Oh, my God. I love that guy.
I didn't watch that clip, that YouTube clip. If you guys haven't seen it before, there's a YouTube clip of a dad who his daughter apparently mouthed off to him on Facebook, and he took her laptop out back that he had bought for her and put a bunch of money into, and takes a 9mm and just unloads on this thing. And it's like, oh, you gonna talk smack? Tell you what, no laptop anymore. So go watch that if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, that was the best.
I actually did watch it. It was right after the dad podcast episode. I watched it because I wanted to see whether or not I totally agreed with the guy, or I thought he was a nutball. Totally agreed with him.
Yeah, I love that. I love everything about that guy. He's yep. what I wish I could be as a dad. Like, he's the fucking Marlboro man, but he's smart and does IT. Like, it's he's sitting there with the nub of a cigarette in his hand, going, "Really? Let me explain something to you. These are hollow point bullets. Like,
they're gonna do some damage."
If you pay attention, the other great part about it is that there are cars driving by in the road. Like, there's a road behind him, and he's just shooting a laptop in a grass field. And nobody goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" Like,
well, you know what, though? This is where I kind of take the dad's perspective on this. And, you know, granted, my daughter's only 7, but I know that, you know, in less than a decade, I'm going to be dealing with some pretty gnarly shit with my kid, especially if she's away, you know, her mother and I are. We're pretty nutty people, but here's the thing. I think that entire video, when you really watch it, that's a dad taking accountability for his kid. And he's saying, "Hey, look, you know what? I care about you this much that I'm going to embarrass the crap out of you. And I've already told my 7-year-old, if you decide to screw with me at any point in time, not only will I take the door off to your room and bye-bye privacy in my house, but I will show up to pick you up in a freaking banana hammock. I'll do it just to embarrass the crap out of her." But you know what? It's taking accountability as a parent. It's not letting your kids get away with everything. And Justin, I know you live in Southern California. I do too. And it's a lot of times the kids here are just different. They're spoiled. They're little brats. And they get away with a lot of stuff. And I don't want my kid like that, man. So you gotta stranglehold it. And you gotta just that, well, don't stranglehold your kid, but I mean, you got to just grab a hold of what they're doing and be a dad. You know, you can't be their friend all the time.
Yeah, I can't wait, because they have to already be out there. After we're done with this, I'm going to look for them on YouTube. Is that I really think he's a pioneer in gun violence against teenage possessions. I can't wait. I can't wait for some redneck just to start, you know, cracking an engine block with a 44 handgun of some kid's, you know, 85 Mustang that he saved up and bought for his kid, and the kid was an asshole. He's like, "Guess who ain't driving this anymore?" Cuckoo, cuckoo.
You know, I think the RPG would be a lot more convincing, though. Just rocket propelled grenade right into the old Mustang. Just wham,
well, that's when it,
you
know, that's when it jumps the shark. When a dad shakes out a kid's car with an RPG, we don't go anywhere from there. You know what I mean? No dad's gonna try and get, you know, some kind of go to Iran to get some plutonium, weapons grade plutonium. Get, you know, it's not worth getting on the no fly list for just to be able to, you know, fuck up your kid's car.
I can see that going down the road. The guy does the RPG, and then, you know, the next thing down the road, here comes the dad going, "I purchased this Cold War replica T-82 Russian tank. Had it smuggled in just so I can blow the shit out of your car, kid."
Now let me show you the diameter of this shell here. Now, if you look at my thigh, and then you look at...
Oh, that's the best.
All right, Justin, we gotta do something with what's going on here, but I don't know what, to be honest with you.
Yeah, trying to around the horn this, asshole. Let's do it. Come on, buckle us up.
Okay, there we go. Now you have to hit that. So, Justin, what age do you think is the most appropriate age to start brainwashing your children into Star Wars?
I did this weird thing where I said 5, because I felt like 5 was the age that he would be old enough to really understand, because it's this weird, I don't know how, it's like, to me, it was almost like growing an orchid, you know what I mean, where they have they bloom like once every lunar eclipse. I don't know a lot about flowers, so it's a bad analogy for me to do, but that I was like, I have to, because if it doesn't go well, I'm afraid I'm going to give up my child. You know what I mean? If he's like, I'm not into this, I want Jean-Luc Picard, you know, then I'm going to bitch slap him. The cops are going to kind of want to take him away, and then his mom and I are going to get divorced. It's going to be weird. And but for whatever reason, I as soon as he got old enough to where he saw it at, I think he was barely 2 is when I did it. And oh my God, it was awesome. I mean, not to get really like kind of cheesy here, but it did kind of bring a tear to my eye just to be able to imagine what your face looked like when you were watching this as a kid. Cause I was about that age when I saw Empire Strikes Back or even A New Hope, maybe at that time. I don't know, but I just remember loving it. It just has this weird, like, just visceral soul connection. I always want to know. I wish I could talk to like the homecoming prince at my high school to see if he was into Star Wars, because I don't know if it brings in, you know how they say that you could be born gay. I think you're also born a nerd, you know what I mean? And sure. I want to know if it is a chicken egg situation, or if it's just, if you happen to see this movie at a certain age, then that's what makes you into a nerd about it or whatever. But it was magical to not, and I don't believe that's an overstatement at all, to watch just this glow in his eyes. And then my dad got him lightsabers, and oh my gosh, we fight lightsabers every day. It is nice. Just nothing but let's wah, 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 you know? It, yeah. I don't know if I just answered your question, because I just had a flashback to my kid, and I miss it like crazy because I'm on the road. So yeah, I'm sorry if I missed your question.
Well, that's negative 5 points on Worsham. Oh! We're going to end the round. Worsham's froze out.
You know what? I had just about that same experience with my father. I've talked about on the podcast before, but it, basically my dad, this was the first time I've ever seen my dad look at me with this, like, he said, "Hey, come here, I'm watching Star Wars." And I was like, "What's Star Wars?" And he just looked at me with this quizzical, like, he was so excited to share it. He was like, "What? You've never seen Star Wars?" Like, he couldn't fathom it. He couldn't wrap his head around it. And my dad's he's an attorney in Omaha. And so, you know, he was very straight laced kind of guy on a lot of different things, but he loves Star Wars. So I can't even count how many times we watched the trilogy together. So to get to flip that around and be the person showing it to somebody else is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
You know, the thing with Star Wars is that it hits people on so many different levels, because it'll hit kids with all the shiny stuff and the you know, the sci-fi stuff with the different creatures and the laser, you know, at that point they're calling them laser swords, but the lightsabers and all that stuff. But it'll hit adults on a different level, and I think that's why it continues to carry with us, because you look at the similarities of good versus evil, and, you know, making these dark side and light side choices, and, you know, the romance and the action and all that stuff. And you can kind of parody it with the way that the world truly is. There's so many similarities to how the Star Wars universe is and to how real life is, that's what I think the draw is for parents. And the fact that we were so glitzed when we were kids of watching all this shiny stuff, and it has continued. I mean, you know, Lucas has obviously created this juggernaut of an IP that, you know, now as we're older, those memories have stuck with us. And there's not a whole lot of movies that really do that, or a whole lot of series that have really done that for me. And I think that's why, you know, my my nerdisms have carried.
Wow. Wow. Shit just got real, y'all.
Yeah, that's what I know.
Well, and but Justin, to your point, when you're talking about people that have never seen it before, I had a friend of mine who's an Aussie, and she lives here in Colorado now, and she had never seen Star Wars before. And my mind couldn't wrap around that. I was like, you're alive. Like, just turn the television on. Just flipping through channels, you've seen it like 24 times, all three of them. And so we sat her down and she watched it and she loved it. She was like, this is fantastic. I said, well, there you go. So I think it's got to be the movie.
I like that. I like the idea of you almost becoming like a Buddhist monk and like, you are welcome, and just bow out and leave the room, never just be seen again. Like,
in his Jedi Knight robes, yo.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm gonna go back to my little hut in the desert now. Come back and find me whenever you need me again, right, kid?
Like a David Carradine kung fu kind of a moment. Yeah.
After she's seen it, he's like, I have achieved my mission, and he clips off his little extension hair, you know, cockeyed ducktail thing, whatever the fuck that was. I don't know where they came up.
Yeah,
with
who
that.
Came up with the rat tail? Whose idea was that? Let's bring back the 80s rat tail for to show that you're in training as a Jedi Knight in the 80s. I mean, really? Come on. Craziness. All right, so here's one for you. You know, it's funny because inadvertently my daughter got introduced to Star Wars at 2. Didn't really plan it. I was just, you know how they do the marathon sometimes on TNT and on cable, yeah, and stuff. So here I am, I'm Phantom Menacing it. And I actually just flipped it by accident, but it was right in the middle of the Darth Maul, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, Jinn, like, scene. You know, the big battle, the big lightsaber duel. And my kid's got this thing where she gets excited and she's sitting down, like her legs get all tense and her arms start moving all kind of gyrating in like a weird way. That kid couldn't stop doing that for half an hour. You know, she's just like, this is so cool. And literally 2 hours later, she has grabbed my Darth Vader replica lightsaber. This thing weighs probably a good 5 pounds. She is running around my house chasing our dog with the thing lit up, you know, going, Star Wars, Star Wars. I'm just like, and all I could think about, no tears.
Chasing a Bothan.
No tears, Justin, but just a grin, a sinister grin of, it has begun.
I had that same grin with my cousin, because when she was, we started babysitting her every week. And I finally said one day to my cousin, her mother, and I was like, I'm introducing her to Star Wars. She's been seeing me playing this game. Yeah. She keeps on asking about it. I'm introducing her to Star Wars. And we sat down and watched the first one for the first weekend on Friday night. Saturday morning, she got up and was like, I want to watch Star Wars again. Can we watch Star Wars again? I want to watch Star Wars again. And every week thereafter, it was always first thing she said to me, not hi. It was, can we watch Star Wars again? And I just got that same evil grin, knowing that I had infected her with the Star Wars bug, and it will last a lifetime.
Nice.
You know, this makes me curious. You guys, are you guys like hardcore collectors?
Yeah, I am.
Dude, look, even in the geek group, it's a certain admission to say that you're a collector.
I know. I like that your guys' reaction was, I was like, hey, who here has herpes? Am I right? Like,
hey, bring it up top for the herp. All right.
He was like, I do. Like, you know, I didn't expect that reaction on literally a Star Wars podcast.
That's too. One of those things where when you're married with kids, having a big collection of Star Wars toys is nothing you can ever explain to a wife. They will never understand that.
Well, I've gotten a buddy of mine, he was a hardcore collector, and he's like 40, and he had a room in his house that was like, he had display cases, everything. And he recently, you know, got his new girlfriend, and I don't think it's one of those situations where she's like, yeah, this needs to go. I don't think it was that. I think it was, he just made that decision, and he did this cool thing where he started giving up all these toys. And I had all my toys, you know, and I just gave them to my kid. And I had this thought that I'm like, I wonder if collectors look at me like I'm crazy for giving my kid these toys. And I'm like, well, they're not mint in the box. But I think, honestly, even if they were, I would just give it, because it is really fun to watch my son play with, like, he plays with the Star Wars guys. Now he's on He-Man. Like, that's his new thing. My dad brought some of my old He-Man toys that he had saved. And so he is all about the He-Man. And thank God for Netflix streaming, because I could just pop it in and relive my childhood again with my son.
Sure.
And he loves it. You know, so he goes through these phases. But have you guys had any similar experiences to that, where you got to see your kids play with your toys? Or is that sacrilegious?
No, I'm a big out-of-the-box fan, so any of my toys are full. My kids have full reign on them, and a couple times I shouldn't have let them play with them so early, because arms and limbs and heads seem to pop off pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah. I've gorilla glued a lot of lightsabers in the past few months.
see for me, Justin, this is my excuse when I'm at Target and I'm in the Star Wars toy aisle. My wife's looking at me going, what are you doing? I'm getting our daughter a toy. So, you know, that's why I'm just vicariously living through her now. Like, she needs the Tauntaun Hoth playset with Luke hanging halfway out the belly. We need that, you know?
Exactly. There's so many times where we're shopping at the store, picking up all our toilet paper, everything you need at the store. I'm like, I'll be right back. I got to go check something out. She's like, are you going to the freaking Star Wars aisle again?
No.
Thank God I'm not the only one. But you know what, man? I'll tell you what. I have gone through that period in my life where you worry about what people think and you worry about what people see, you know? So, you know, I had my office in my house. I had it all set up real nice the way my wife wanted everything. And then slowly but surely, I started putting one or two things in there. Now it's a full-blown Star Wars dojo. And I really could give a shit what people think about my hobby anymore. And especially at work, oh my God, when I go to work, I work in a firehouse, for Christ's sake. So people, they will find anything they can to exploit you and just fire on you all the time. And, you know, God love them. I love those guys. But the second they found out about my obsession with Star Wars and, oh God, the podcast, once they found out the podcast, everybody had it downloaded. And you know what? You just have to get to that point in your life where I just don't give a shit anymore. It's like, hey, man, this is what I'm into. This is what I'm about. You love me for who I am. And just like I said, you got to be cool geek. If you're right. A cool geek, the people leave you the hell alone.
Go ahead, Justin.
It's a good time to be a nerd. I mean, right now, I don't know. That's what I was just thinking while I'm listening to this. I go, you know what's funny is that I think all of us were kind of not the cool kids in school.
Really?
You know what I mean? I know.
That is shocking.
I know. I buckle up. A lot of iPods just blew up right there.
You just lost half our listener base. Well, they weren't popular in high school. Well, that's it with that show.
When are these guys going to talk about getting pussy?
Well, this one time at a frat party.
But anyway, my point was that I was thinking about this. I mean, we are going to be like the cool dads. It's like it's come full circle now. You know what I mean? Like I'm here on the road and I went and watched 21 Jump Street, which, by the way, it's really funny. I don't know if you, but it's really good movie. Like not one of those shitty licensed remakes. Like it's the way it should always be done, to be honest. But they had a trailer for Avengers and it was, oh my gosh. Like I was in there going, I am so happy right now. This is going to be so awesome.
Dude, it is
and then the
awesome.
Fact that I'm a dad and my son is going to come with me to the movie is just, I have a built-in genetic buddy. It is incredible.
Right.
Well, how much worse is it now that you get like some of these amazing summer blockbusters, especially now that Marvel's really pushing all their properties and this stuff, and you go in to see, it doesn't matter what else you're seeing, and you see that preview, you see that trailer, and you go, what the fuck, man? What am I watching again? Why am I watching this? I paid money to see, you know, whatever, some nonsense that you don't even care about. It's probably a rom-com that you've been drugged to. Not that that's happened to me recently, but it has. But you
Let's
know, you get in there, you see
Calm
the
down.
Avengers.
Let's talk real. Let's
okay, first,
get
first
it
off,
out,
first off, Denver, why don't you just go ahead and admit that you chose the movie? You chose the rom-com.
Oh,
you drugged
Mrs.
Denver. Don't lie to me, dude.
We all
know you're sensitive.
I'm willing to go for Mrs. Denver. I always tell her, I'll see whatever you want, dear. It's, you know, it's fine. I'm not, I like going to the movies. So give me a little popcorn, a soda. Maybe there's a couple of good jokes in there, but man, they make some really bad movies. Like even women should be ashamed to watch some of these things. Like this was just bad. It wasn't that it was a bad rom-com. It was just bad in general.
You know what? I thank God that my wife she's more like a dude in that, you know, the movies that she watches, she would rather see, you know, a good comedy or something rather than going to see girly movies and stuff. Because I'll tell you what, I don't have the patience for me. By the time I get out of some of those things, I just feel like shooting myself in the face. I'm done with this. So thank God. Molly, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but thank you.
Justin, I agree with what you said, though. It is a good time to be a nerd, because isn't it funny how, like, the last time I actually ran into a dude who was, like, the popular jock strap of my high school or whatever, he and I were both in line for Harry Potter, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? About 20 years ago, you were giving me complete shit about what I used to love, and here you are standing in line with me, dude. Now, yeah. It's so funny how I'm in now, and your dipshit ass was out now. You know, I love it.
And he's the one that's wearing the painted-on scar, the glasses, right, and the cloak. Right. And you're like, listen, I'm not going to throw you in that trash can, but don't think that karma doesn't want me to. All right, you son of a bitch. You're going to buy me some Milk Duds, by the way, asshole. Okay.
Give me that lunch money. I want a refund.
And now it turns out that all of us that, you know, happen to be in computers and had some technical savvy, know a little bit about audio, we rule the airwaves now.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck the airwaves. We rule the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Geeks definitely took over. I don't know when the shift was where we just went, okay, all right. All right. You with the glasses, you're in charge. Everybody else, just listen to that guy.
Denver, I can tell you when it happened. Three words. Hack the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, we took over. We took over, man. Plain and simple. Batman got popular all of a sudden. Next thing you know, nerds are cool. Who knew, right?
Thank you, Kevin Smith.
Thanks, Kevin Smith. I think it's Kevin Smith who's responsible for the shift, actually. He's the guy. You know, he went from Clerks to, like, Batman to Green Hornet to, oh, okay, cool, yeah, let's do it, you know? Kevin Smith. Thanks, Kevin.
I think he rode the wave, though. I think, oh, yeah. I don't know, like... Honestly, I'm not trying to shit on the guy. I hope that didn't come out wrong, but I was, because I'm in my head. I'm like, I'm really trying. I'm like, this is a really good like concept. I'm curious. I'm trying to think of the exact moment. You know, the only thing I could kind of think of is like maybe the Spider-Man movies.
I think you're right with Spider-Man. I think you hit it on the head.
Because they were such huge blockbusters that everybody loved. And it was the first time that the popular culture experienced nerd rage with Spider-Man 3, where they're like, Peter Parker fucking dancing? What the fuck is going
and
on?
And he's got that emo haircut, and you're going, what are you doing, Pete? Pete, get together. Get your life
together. What's up with the douchebag on the floating snowboard? That's just not working out for me at all.
So bad.
And it's funny when you can have, like, now all of a sudden it's a common conversation instead of at the water cooler. It's like, hey, did you see the Chiefs game last night? It's more like, it's like, can they stop putting two villains in a movie? Can we just nail them one at a time? Can we have more than a fucking trilogy? Has anybody heard of Friday the 13th? They got 14 fucking movies out of that fucking franchise. You could only get three out of Spider-Man. Then you got to reboot this shit. Am I right, buddy?
I mean, seriously, if you haven't hit the nail
overload.
Then.
Yeah. Now, I assume at the same time you saw that the Avengers trailer when you were in the movie, did you also see the new Spider-Man trailer? Have they put that out
yet? No, I did not.
Oh, my God. You know what? I can't decide whether I like it or not, because they do all the web slinging is all done as a first person. It's all done from Spider-Man's perspective. So is that good? Is that bad? I got to see more than that. I got to see more than just that, because that's what they really showed.
It's going to make a lot of geeks motion sick, I'm thinking.
It'll be good. It'll be good in the IMAX with the 3D glasses on, probably.
Well, I'm sure. Oh,
that's good. Yeah, that definitely is going to be vomit inducing. Like, yeah.
Here's your medium popcorn. Here's a large popcorn bag empty for your vomit.
it's the Spider-Man reboot vomit bag. Get the collectible item.
Like, Jesus, I almost puked.
I always hate that. Like, I feel like, you know what's so funny is that I think the nerd culture has a bad stereotype or reputation, that's what I'm thinking of, is that they think that, oh, they're hypercritical of everything. And I don't know, maybe it's that's part of the nerd issue, is that I feel like it's not fucking hard. Don't get artsy fartsy with Spider-Man. Just fucking show him swinging around and kicking ass one villain at a time. And everybody's going to be happy. There's a reason why comic books are serials. Like, that's the way you should be doing this. You don't need to cram three fucking villains into every goddamn movie or even really set it up. I mean, sure, have them pop in or walk by and we'll each get a little chubby when we see it. You know what I mean? But
well, I'll tell you what I think it is, you know, the reason that nerds rage is because of lore. And that's why they call me Lord Time Cash. But I'll tell you what, with the lore, if you read a comic book, and the comic book says one thing 10 years ago, and they contradict it in a movie or in a game or in some other medium, that's when you're going to see a bunch of nerds freaking vapor lock, and then they're all over the internet. They're all over the internet, just going, hey, "Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!"
Well, but that's the reason though that when Watchmen came out, I told every person I knew, I'm like, "Just go see it," because it's one of the first times that they just said, "All right, get the director in here, look at the actual book, look at the source fucking material, and make the movie off of this." Like, it's almost panel for panel until you get to like the very end, which I understand doesn't work very well cinematically, but it's almost panel for panel, and they did an awesome job with it. Just make it true to the source material. I don't get why that's so hard. They're like, no, you need to add a love interest in here, and you need to add that. No, yeah, you don't. It's already been created. It's already done.
Which the biggest piece of bullshit about it is there's a reason why you're making this fucking movie, and it's because what was made is fucking popular and awesome and great and people like it. So just don't fuck with it. Just put it like what you're saying. Put it out there. Let people enjoy. Do you hear me, Lucas? Are you listening to this, Lucas?
Hey, you just nerd raged. Worship, you just nerd raged. Way to go, man. Welcome aboard.
Yes.
Woo! Has anybody been reading about the Ninja Turtles with Michael Bay and that insane blowback? Everybody is going crazy.
Michael Bay.
Age alien Ninja Turtles.
Michael Bay is like the anti-nerd. He's the guy that pisses. If Michael Bay's got one specific talent in this lifetime, is he knows how to piss off every nerd in the world.
Now, look, the man can create a great action scene, but I've been saying for years, Michael Bay, it's time to do a two-director movie, okay? Michael Bay does all the action, and you bring David Fincher in to do the fucking story, and you have an amazing movie.
And you know what? Leave Shia LaBeouf out of it. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf with every movie that no.
That's his catchphrase.
He has to do it. He has to do it every single movie. I've never seen one without it.
Two pieces of nerd bane: Michael Bay and Shia LaBeouf.
More like Sheila Douche.
Oh god, horrible.
I think Jon Favreau did a great job with at least the first Iron Man.
Oh,
I saw him
the
behind the scenes stuff where he mentioned, and I don't know if it was blowing sunshine up everybody's ass, but he was just like, you know, we've seen what's happened with, you know, these licenses where they come in and, you know, you try and take it. So we're trying as hard as we can to be as true to the source material as we can, because we understand that there's a big responsibility with this franchise, you know. And I enjoyed the movie. I remember reading them as a kid in the 80s occasionally. I wasn't the hardcore guy that was at the comic book store every week. You know, I didn't have a box or anything like that, but I enjoyed it and I liked the movies.
Well, and then the studio did everything they could to screw the second one up. They're like, yeah, oh, we're not getting Jon Favreau. We don't want to pay. What do you mean? Jon Favreau made that movie amazing and you don't want to pay him for the second one? Like, what the hell are you thinking? Who is sitting in the boardroom going, nah, 7%? I don't think so. We're not giving him. We could make another $100 million off this, but I'm not paying that asshole 7%.
Well, and I had heard with the third one that the reason why he left too was that when they were working on the script, they kept wanting to bring in like Captain America into the movie, and he's like, "No, we already made Avengers." At that time, they were in the middle of shooting it, you know, and they were talking about Iron Man 3, and he was like, "No, that's Avengers. That's a separate movie that we've already done. Like, we don't need to bring them all together. That's going to be a separate, you know, franchise." And they're like, no, we need all these guys. We need it all to tie together. And he's like, well, then you don't need me. I'm out of here. I'm not going to be responsible.
Which is smart. That's exactly what he should do. And speaking of Avengers, what could we not get Ed Norton? Like, is Ed Norton just fucking that busy? Like,
no. I think Ed said no.
Oh my god. He was the, I would say, bar none outside of the TV series, he's the best one that's done it. He had the most mild-mannered, you know, nerdy scientist approach that worked. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but
that was the only reboot that I was happy with.
I think he did better than Bill Bixby. I mean, seriously, dude, come on.
I love it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. I'm not laughing at you, but I just like, right? Seriously.
What's Bill Bixby? What's Bill Bixby's, you know, name to fame? The Incredible Hulk and Dexatrim commercials, you know?
Dexatrim commercials are amazing.
Would you like to lose some weight? Here, try some of this methamphetamine in a capsule, and that'll make you feel a lot better. So much energy. Just run around. Talk to me real quick, Justin. Help me out here.
Dexatrim, and this is a Star Wars video game podcast. I just thought in my head, I'm like, wow, I have royally fucked this show.
Oh, you've derailed us, dude. This is great. You're going to get your own special show just for this. But talk to me, though, Justin. You're a Star Wars fan, all this other stuff. Why are you not playing the Star Wars The Old Republic massive multiplayer online role-playing game?
You know, it's funny. I also do a video game podcast called The Second Funniest Podcast that started off as a comedy podcast, but my best friend is the voice of Sly Cooper, and they're making a fourth game. And
oh, you're kidding me.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So he's so we had these kids find our show, find because they Googled his name, and then they said, hey, you should get, you know, Bentley and Murray on the show. So we did, and we thought it'd be fine, and then the numbers just blew up. So we changed formats, and now it's a video game show. And my buddy is like, dude, you don't – I'm a Star Trek fan, and I love this game. This game was made for someone like you. You have to get this game. And I swear, I don't put – I only like to play console video games, right? I don't put anything on my computer. Because I travel for my job, I don't own a desktop. I own a MacBook, which is the real reason, is that I don't have – I'm not necessarily pushed to a point where I'm like, I have to, you know, do the boot camp thing and then put Windows on my MacBook so that I can run this game. But he did show it to me, like he played a little mission or whatever. And my God, I was like, oh, this is hard to not just go buy a PC just to be able to play this game. It looks amazing. And I heard you guys talking about it on one of your episodes. And I was like, wow, this sounds incredible. Like you guys were saying that it's really revolutionary as an MMORPG, as far as even that goes, let alone delving into the Star Wars universe in the depth that you can, from what I understand hearing from him and you guys. So I'm sorry, I guess is what the answer to your question.
So we're gonna start the fundraiser here for Justin's new laptop.
You know what? If somebody did that, I would feel like shit. Like it would be horrible. I wish I had I wish the real answer was like, oh, my wife won't do it, some pussy whip thing. But it's not. My wife doesn't give a shit. She doesn't care. I could tell it. You know what I mean? It's just laziness. I'm gonna be real transparent here. I think it's a lot of fear. I'll be honest with you.
What's the fear?
Because I barely am able to keep up with my two children when I'm at home. Now, if you give me a world that I can completely escape into, those children are gonna raise themselves. Let's be honest.
Well, it's funny that you said your wife doesn't give a shit, because the next morning after you've played until 3 a.m., because that's the only time that you'll have to play, is when your kids and wife are asleep. The next morning when you can't even roll out of bed to make a cup of coffee, then she'll give a shit. Just ask my loving wife.
Yeah, just wait until you're sitting at your computer and you're like, oh God, that is hurting my eyes, and you realize it's the sun coming up and it's the next day, and you're like, oh shit, I probably should go to bed.
God damn it, do I miss those days though, to be honest. Just like for real, like, oh, that was the best when you, because I had this great gig before we had kids, where when we moved to Los Angeles and I was going to try and do acting and stuff, my wife had a day job, and I would just sit at home all day playing SOCOM online, and it was only with people like in England, because they were in the time zone where they were home from their fucking jobs, you know, like so. And it was such a great life just to live. Oh, I loved it. And being up all night playing games and having no consequence. Oh, damn it.
Let's build up your geek cred here. So give us a little bit of your gaming history. What was your first console, and you know, what do you own now? Give us that kind of spectrum.
Oh gosh. My first console was like a Tandy type, one of those keyboards, you know, not even like the computer and the keyboard, but they didn't have monitors for it then. It just plugged into like the coax on your television.
Like an Intellivision?
No, it wasn't Intellivision. It was some like radio. That's what I'm saying. That's how deep it was. It wasn't even a console, that it was like a Radio Shack. Like, this is a computer now. This is what, guys, welcome to computers. It was that my dad was always into gadgets. And so we brought that home. And it played like this cockroach version of Pac-Man that you would run around and get these pellets. And I used to love it, because whenever you died, the cockroaches would die and go like, we gotcha, ta 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 ta, and do this racist thing. And that's and then from there, I my dad got a Tandy 1000, and I used to love to play Lode Runner. That was like my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's about the time that I got a Nintendo. My parents split up, which was awesome. By the way, if you hate your spouse and you're like, let's stay together for the kids, let me explain to you, fuck that noise. Your awkward tension isn't worth staying together. You know what's awesome? That first Christmas after you get a divorce and you try to out Christmas each other, that you do for your children, okay? Because that was outstanding. My mom hooked me the fuck up. So
You were excite biking all over the place.
Yes, that, and that's what I was gonna say. That's my game. Oh, excite bike. And if you played that today, other than the nostalgic aspect, the shittiest game ever. The shittiest game ever. So, you mean I could build my own jump that does nothing, where there's just bullshit physics? Oh, I can't wait. So, like, you know. But I love that game. I never really got into Mario Brothers, and then I loved playing Tecmo Bowl. Like, I was this weird kind of jock gamer because that was the only way I could do sports was with my thumbs, you know. And Double Dribble, I love that. And then when the Sega Genesis came out with Joe Montana Football, it's funny to look back now, but I look back and watching Joe Montana Football and being able to remember the squares that you play with and seeing actual stick figures running, I'm like, wow, this is gorgeous. And if I just wish I could go back to my little self and show myself Madden, you know, 2011, and just watch me shit myself.
Here's what's coming, young self.
Wow. Just pull on an iPod Touch and just go play with that.
Yeah. Look how small it is now.
Just watch your mind melt away.
Exactly. And then watch myself disappear like Back to the Future style because I just died. So I did that, and then it was like literally that's what my mom did. She fed my video game habit, and I had the Sega Genesis, and then I think I took a break when I about the time I started to discover a vagina. I don't know if you guys ever
I've heard of them.
They're pretty awesome.
I don't think I have. Can you go into more detail?
I would love to.
I went to college. I've seen plenty of vagina.
Yeah. Sorry. Well. And I think that's what it was, where it's like, I kind of was like, weirdly enough, I was in plays in high school. And the funny thing about drama girls is they more often than not like the stage because they have daddy issues. And the double bonus to that is that means that they like for you as a boy to treat them nice.
Isn't that the stage with the pole that's coming out of the middle of it?
That comes out. That's how they put themselves through college. But in high school, right. It's legal, so they can't, you right. know. Instead, they just rode my pole, essentially, is what was happening. Too far? What happened? Am I losing points?
Stagecoach is heading towards the cliff right now. Let's pull those horses back a little bit here.
This is where innocence dies.
My God, my listener base is going to be like, what the hell have you done?
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. This is great, dude.
All right. Well, now, honestly, tell me if I'm going too far. I'm just fucking around having fun.
Have fun. That's the whole point of this. That's the point.
I was very lucky because I was also one of those theater kids, and I went on to do theater in college. And the college I went to, it was a very, very nerdy college. And for me, over half the gamers were girls. Nice. The guys were the minority. And it was it was like dying and going to heaven.
It was like Nirvana. You just got there and you're like, Nirvana. Oh, wow. It's real.
It was Nerdvana. And if you went to the quote-unquote jock fraternities, they were all playing games. They were all gamers, too. They were just trying to closet it.
See, that's what sucks is because, like, when I was going to college, you know, it hadn't, like, moved into, like, everyone's got an Xbox in their dorm room yet, man. And you know, to think about this, Justin, we could have had both, man. I know. The games and the vagina. Damn
it. These kids today have no idea how lucky they have it. The path we paved for them. I mean, I didn't know that was an option. I was like, if I don't put all of my attention into these, you know, boobies, right. They make disappear and go away. I will see you another day, GameCube. You know,
now the boobies
are my generation. Thank you.
Now the boobies come with their own Xbox gamer tags.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
God.
One for each.
I mean, seriously, for the older guys that you know where I'm coming from, you look at this new generation of gamer girls and you know that they're nerdy and they're going to be a little freaky in the sack. I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous of that time frame just to be able, like, it's like a weird, cool Renaissance fair. You know what I mean? Which is just like a nerd orgy, from what I understand, the Renaissance fair. It's
all they really are. Cool. Actually, no comment. I don't want to get slapped. By people I know.
Nerd orgies.
I mean, think about it. You got that really high, you know, proof mead and turkey legs. That's just protein and booze. That's a mixture. That's ancient Romans right there, man. Let's just do this.
Let the hedonism begin.
Speaking of mead, there's a question I ask every guest that comes on the show.
Oh, God.
And I need to know how you feel about this.
It doesn't sound good when everybody else is like, oh, God.
He's about to get on his fucking mead soapbox again. Here we go. Buckle up, Denver Drew.
So how do you feel about Billy D. Williams Colt 45 endorsement in the 80s?
I want to YouTube it and watch it real quick. I've never seen it. I've seen like a little segment of it, like maybe on like a talk show joke where it's like, hi, I'm Billy D. Like that kind of suave black guy thing that he's doing. But I'm totally bailing on you. I don't know enough about
that
it.
That he created.
Yeah.
It's Billy D. Williams. Come on, Worsham.
So now if Billy D, if Lando Calrissian came to you, handed you a Colt 45 and said, drink a Colt with me, would you sit down with Lando?
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, I would.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably, definitely. I do like, because here's what I think he did, is he made cheap malt liquor sexy. You know what I mean? He made it cool. Like, that's what I think it definitely provided. But
Wait, it wasn't before that?
Not that I know of. Maybe I was more of a Pabst Blue Ribbon because of the redneck in me. We didn't talk to the blacks, but I understand the malt liquor is really good.
I linked it for you.
Thank you. I like your chime in. Here's a link.
That's what I do. Oh, oh God, it's hideous. I'm watching it right now.
It's awesome.
He's like, damn.
Billy D. Williams. Colt 45.
Oh, he is the administrator of this facility.
He is, absolutely.
That's harking back to a time where stereotypes could be, you know, racially driven, and it was like, oh, yeah, of course, that's how black people talk about malt liquor. Yeah. Like,
right. Well, it's like watch any episode of Archie Bunker nowadays, and, man, you just about shit a prickly pear watching it. Like, seriously? How the hell they get away with that?
Yeah, it's pretty insane. It's pretty insane, the shift that's happened.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, you know, you got a lot of things that are going on, obviously, over the Dad Podcast. You're doing a lot of stand up. Hop on your soapbox. Give us what's going on with you. What are your avails? Let's talk about
it. You want to know the club? Well, all my club dates are at justincomedy.com. But let's see if I can rattle off a few here. April 12th through 15th, Daddy's going to be at the Sacramento Punchline. Going to be there. That's going to be good times. And May 9th through 13th, going to be at the Des Moines Funny Bone. And then 23rd through the 27th, that same May month, going to be in San Antonio at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. But anything after that, go ahead and go to justincomedy.com. You can hit me up on the Twitter at Justin Worsham. But all of that, there's links at my website, justincomedy.com. Thank you.
And give us the bumper for the Dad Podcast. Tell everybody where they should go, why they should listen, etc.
The Dad Podcast is you can find that at thedadpodcast.com, or it's also searchable through iTunes and all the directories and everything. But it's me and a commercial actor, a friend of mine, Bill Glass, and we talk about real deal homie feel shit about being dads and husbands. And we don't talk about like Kelly Ripa's magical bouncing cakes off your heel and all that bullshit. We come at parenting from the perspective that it is possible to love them with all your heart while strangling them. You know what I mean? Like you could do that from a place of love. And we're honest about it, and we curse, and we bitch about our wife. It's funny that we started that show strictly for dads, because if you look in the podcast directory, there's nothing but shows for moms. And I was like, you know, there's a niche there that I'm passionate about. Let's talk about it. So we started the show, and then now we have a lot of moms that are invading the show. We don't change it. We don't gear it towards them. But a lot of chicks have listened to the show and said, you know, it's funny because I listened to the show, and you've made my marriage better. Because now I understand why my husband is doing what he does. We've gotten, and I'm going to be honest, I don't like to get up too much and, you know, pat myself on the back, but many a blowjob has been caused by our podcast. And that's really what we're trying to do here. It's the Lord's work, what we're trying to do.
Making the world a better place.
After your Valentine's show, when you talked about blowjob day. That's perfect.
Yeah, right. Isn't that great? And I'm so angry that it's not a bigger thing. Like, and it was so funny. I reminded everybody on our Facebook page and the moms that listened to the show. I'm not shitting you guys. Within 30 minutes, they all had, oh, I might forget this, or meh, meh, meh. And one chick posted the top 10 reasons of how red meat can kill you. Like, this is how anti. And I was like, ladies, you do not fucking understand.
Yeah.
seriously, if you spend 10 minutes down there, probably not even that. Let's be real. Let's talk real right now. If you just do that, you have no idea what next Valentine's Day is going to mean for you. All you got to do is finish up and go, just remember that next February 14th. And guess what? That's a freaking locked memory now. And it's going to be done if they think that now it means Valentine's is going to get me something. You know what I mean? Because right now, I think Adam Carolla said it best on his show where he's like, Valentine's is not, that's a lose-lose. It's like getting pulled over and getting a DUI test. At the best case scenario, you're just going to be sent on your way, wasting 20 minutes of your life. Worst case scenario, you're in the Hooskow, the drunk tank. You know what I mean? There is no win for the guy on Valentine's Day. This creates a win for us. So let's make this a thing. Let's do this right.
Well, Justin, I got to tell you, and I'm under direct order from my wife, Molly. She loves your guys' show. And, aww, you get to that point, in your marriage, if there's, we laugh all the time, but she rarely gets to the point with our busy lives and everything where she gets that true, deep, full on belly laugh. And the last few times I've heard her laugh that hard is when we're listening to your podcast. So it is appreciated. She's really into it. So
I know. I've been talking a lot of shit on this show, but honest to God, that really, now I'm going to completely lose all credibility with your listeners, but it really does touch my heart. Like, as weird as that may sound, like, we've had a lot of people send emails in about how it like helped save their marriage, just because either it gave them something common that they could listen to and talk about, or I say some stupid bullshit that a wife listens to and is like, oh, that's the same stupid bullshit my husband says. This is why he's saying it. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So thank you, man. I'm glad she enjoys it. That's good.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We're big fans.
Awesome. Justin, man, thanks for coming on and hanging out with us, man. This has really been a good time. And
honestly, this is great. I will do this anytime you guys want. If I'm sitting around on the road, I would love it. You guys are awesome.
So you'll do this at like 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday?
Let's go fucking nuts. Why not? Nice. Now I'll be playing video games, I guess, and then pissing my wife off the next day. So
I'll send you some Dexatrim. That might help out a little bit too.
And let me channel, if I may, for a moment, Justin. If I could channel Bill Glass, the views expressed by Justin Worshimer are in no way related to the Old Republic Radio podcast. Thank you.
This is the other reason why I don't like having Bill on this thing. You know, his schedule, he wanted to do this. I told him about it and he wanted to be on the show. But you have to understand, his schedule is not only different than mine, but he also, people who listen to the show, he has a slightly different wife than mine. So the idea of him leaving to go do a podcast for an hour, leaving her alone with the kids, can sometimes make it a little hard on him. And so that it is what it is. And I love the guy to pieces. And he would have loved to have been here. But it lets me be racist and sexist and crazy. So unless that offended you, then we're fucking great.
And I try really hard for those that do listen to the Dad podcast, and especially those on the Facebook page. I try really hard not to tell you guys how awesome my life is with just a wife and no kids. I try really hard.
No, you know what? Just do it.
It doesn't always work, though. I'm always like, oh, yeah, really? How'd that work out for you? I was busy getting 9 hours of sleep. I didn't sleep a bit. Look how angry it makes him. Look how
I know. It's really great, by the way, we're doing this Skype group conversation to hear you talk about that, seeing you with a fucking pipe and sunglasses like you're living a goddamn dream. Some beach community. This makes you want to punch you in your face through the computer.
You know what, Justin, because he is living the dream, but I cannot wait until Mrs. Denver's knocked up. I really can't. Right? It's going to be
It's coming.
Great.
Yeah, it's
you
coming.
You folks keep waiting.
That's just one drunken night right there. Doesn't even remember what's going on, you know?
Let's be honest, Drew. You live in Colorado. In California, they have to do this, but I'm going to shoot straight with you, Drew. I don't know what your plans honestly are, but just go get fixed, because worst case scenario, your wife is going to hit a point where she's like, I want a baby, and then she is going to fuck your brains out, and it's going to lead to nothing. She's going to be doing everything, and it's just going to be a routine where she's like, I just spiked the temperature. Let's do this, you know, and you're going to be like, okay, you know.
If we have to, you know, I'm willing to do my duty to God and country.
I would have, because in California, you can't, if you're married and don't have children, you can't get a vasectomy without your wife's permission.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Snap. Right. I was scrutinized because we only have one child when I went in for my consult for my vasectomy. And yeah. the doctor said, your wife needs to be present. And he tried to talk me out of it. I looked him straight and I cock-eyed him and I just Scooby-Dooed him and went, huh?
I know. Isn't that weird?
dude, we're doing this. You're putting my name down on the freaking schedule. We're doing this.
Yeah. That is unbelievable.
All right. Yeah. So if we learn anything about Justin Morsham today, we've learned that you can't get fixed in California.
That's what I was here for. That's the only reason I was
Bam,
here for.
That's all this, it right there. Yeah. Learn that, kids. Damn it,
how many kids do you have that listen? I know you're trying to wrap it up, and I'm sorry if I'm screwing it up, but how many kids do you have listened to this show? Did I ruin that entirely?
Oh, I mean, we've got parents with kids. I mean, man, we got everything going on.
All right. Well, I apologize if I ruined
it. What do you mean? No.
They love our family-friendly show.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. You know what I like about the Old Republic Radio? I can pop it in the minivan, and we listen to it, and the kids and I can bond over our video game for love. Until this guy was talking about giving motorboats to eighth-grade girls. Or what the hell? And he does a parenting podcast. He's two strokes short of being a pedophile himself. This is bullshit.
We'll just highlight this as the educational episode.
And I'll tell you what, the one thing that people need to have, especially if you're parents, is a friggin' sense of humor. Just have a sense of humor about it. You know what? Life is not always straight-laced. You have to laugh. If you don't laugh, it ain't worth it.
And it's so funny how hard that is to remember. Like, you can easily forget that shit. And just
Oh, God. Beautiful, Justin. Well, hey, man, good luck on your tour. Everything else, Last Comic Sitting, the Dad's Podcast, your video game show, everything, man. Great luck to you, and we'll see you soon. You know how that goes.
Yes, thank you guys so much. This was a ton of fun.
Justin Warshaw, everybody. Great
Stay
stuff,
frosty.
Dude.
Stay frosty.
Stay frosty.
So that's me on the Old Republic Radio. Don't forget to go to the dadpodcast.com. Vote for me on the Last Comic Sitting competition. This is my final week that I need you to vote. I appreciate everybody for helping me out. You've carried me through to the end. I am just one step closer to getting that 10 grand where I need your help. After that, it lies on me. It is all up to me in that final hour. Really, it's just 5 minutes, but whatever. So go to the dadpodcast.com. Click on the link that says Help Justin Win Last Comic Sitting, and please vote for me there. And also, again, April 22nd. Oh, voting is open until April 22nd, midnight, for the Last Comic Sitting. And I'm taping my third comedy album at 7 o'clock in Burbank, California, at Flappers Comedy Club. I have a guest list, so if you would like to get in for free, just send me an email to show@thedadpodcast.com with tickets in the subject line. I need your name and the number of tickets that you need. I can have as many people as I'd like in there. So first come, first serve. I just want to fill it is all I really care about. If you know anybody in the LA area, especially somebody who has kids, please forward the information to them and they can send me an email. As long as it goes through that email, then I will assume they are a listener and wonder why they're not already a listener. Thank you guys again for all the support with Last Comic Sitting and everything. On behalf of me and the fellas at Old Republic Radio, after I've ruined their podcast, this is Justin Warsham saying, stay frosty.